How'd they do? Well, yeah, you're a generous crowd on this side, okay. Well, don't get sassy, though, because it's your turn. So you all just sit and listen a moment and, you know, let that soak. This side of the room's going to sing the other part, and it goes, the old has gone, the new has come. Clap, clap, clap. Help me out. The old has gone, the new has come. I am new with Jesus within me. Clap, clap, clap. All right, here's the fun part. Now we get to do it at the same time. So we're going to start out this side. Miss Rachel's going to sing out with I am a new creation, and this side of the room is going to sing the old has gone at the same time. I'll help you out. Rachel will help you out. All right? Here we go. One, two, three, and I old has gone, the new has come. I am new because Jesus. Again, the old has gone. One more time, the old has gone, the new has come, I am who is Jesus lives in me, because Jesus lives in me, one more, because Jesus lives in me. Nice job, everybody. Good going. All right. Now, I want to talk just a moment about the song. So if you can turn where you can see me, I'm going to read a Bible verse for you, okay? And it's from 2 Corinthians 5. It says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled himself to us. That means he brought himself to us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a really big, deep concept. But the idea is that when we were, before we know Jesus, we are who we are, and we can't please God on our own. We can be really good, but we're still people that sin and make bad choices. So we really have to choose to believe God and accept him in our lives. And then he provides us with life and hope and peace, and we can please him. We can make him happy. And then we can also live with him in heaven after our time on earth is done. So the idea of us being an old and then a new creation, can you think of anything else that does that? You ever seen like a tadpole turn into a bullfrog? That's bizarre. A little squiggly thing, and all of a sudden, it turns. How about a caterpillar? You ever seen a caterpillar? What do they turn into?
A butterfly.
A butterfly or a moth, yeah. Yeah. You ever seen a chicken egg or a duck egg or an ostrich egg?
We hatch some.
Yeah. You hatch them? Yeah. Yeah, me too. And that's crazy that an egg can turn into a chicken. Right? That's pretty crazy. So those are examples of new creations. So I'm wondering, do any of you have a nickname? Do you know what a nickname is? Ray Ray? Oh, that's a good one. I have a niece that we call Ray Ray. Anybody else have a nickname? What is it?
Squeaker.
Squeaker? Yeah? Oh, Austin, okay, yeah. My mama used to call me Pumpkin when I'd hurt my knee or something. She's, oh, Pumpkin. All right. Well, there's a guy. There are lots of guys in the Bible, but did you know there are people in the Bible that had nicknames too? There was a guy named Simon, and Jesus called him Peter because it had a different meaning, right? When I was little, I lost these two teeth at the same time, and I could stick my lip through kind of opposite from what you have. I had these two buck teeth that stuck out. I would put my lip through it, and I looked like a beaver. And so my friends called me Beaver when I was little. But there were some other people also. Jesus had nicknames. Did you know that different people called him different names, not just Jesus? They called him things like Messiah or teacher or master. And there was one guy that had a really cool nickname, and I think he gets the prize for the best nickname in the Bible. You ready for this? His name was Nicodemus, and I call him Nick. Yeah, that's bad, huh? Okay. Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus one time in the evening. Jesus had had a busy day, and Nicodemus was a teacher in the Jewish church, and he was a leader, and he came to Jesus after this long, busy day, after it was dark. And it was kind of weird, because a lot of people came to Jesus during the daytime, but Nicodemus didn't want to be seen in the daylight. And we're not really sure why it happened that way, but what we do know is that he chose not to believe what Jesus was doing and saying. He did not believe. And so he asked Jesus, Rabbi, that's another nickname, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him. And then Jesus replies to him and says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God until what? Till they are born again. And so Nicodemus is thinking, I'm already, he was probably at least 30 years old, maybe older. He was a leader in the church, maybe 40, 50, 80, I don't know. And so Nicodemus comes back to him and says, well, how can someone be born once they're old? That doesn't make any sense. Surely they cannot enter into the womb a second time and be born again. And Jesus answers and says, well, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. And at that point, they didn't really understand that. Nicodemus knew that there were specific things in order to be qualified to be a leader in the church and to be acceptable to God. But he did not understand this thing about the Spirit. Because if you think about it, the Holy Spirit had not been given to the church yet. This was when Jesus was wrapping up. This was on his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And he didn't. It wasn't until later that he promised the disciples, the church, that the Holy Spirit would come as a helper. And so Nicodemus must have thought, wait a minute, they'll be born of the water? I've been baptized. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense either. Washed, that makes sense. Consecrated, that makes sense. But for a religious leader, it didn't make any sense to him. And so Jesus continues and says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus's brain was just convulsing, trying to figure out what all this meant. And I get the sense that he didn't just not understand, but that he was choosing not to believe Jesus' teaching. He was skeptical. He was religious, but he didn't believe. He had been born, he had not been born again and had not received the Spirit. Those were not things that had been available yet. So, evidently Nicodemus did not like Jesus' response. And I really like a lot of things in the Message translation. In this particular passage, it says, how can this be? In verse 5 and 6, Jesus says, you are not listening. Let me say it again. He rephrases it, gives it to Nicodemus again. Unless a person submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the water kind of creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, it is not possible to enter into God's kingdom. This is the born again, the new creation that he's talking about. So Colossians 2:13 says, when you were dead in your sins, and then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave your sins. John 3:16, anybody know John 3:16? Yeah? Do you remember what it is? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Ow! Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. Did I say that right? Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. That's all of us. In fact, that was Nicodemus. As amazing a leader he was, as qualified as he was condemned because he had not received Christ in the Spirit. And before, it's easy for me to look at him and say, oh, Nicodemus, that's bad. But then that's where we are too. We are all condemned until we accept Christ. And when I say condemned, it means unacceptable, not worthy. I may have not have killed anybody and been condemned and sentenced to life in prison, but my sinful nature condemns me in a way that I cannot be right with God on my own. So let's just take a moment to read between the lines. Nicodemus was asking questions that we could be asking, and we need to learn from what he says. What do we need to believe? Simply that God loves us. God loves each of us and wants to have a relationship with us. And it's as easy as just asking him, believing that, and asking him to do that and change us. Take us from being an old creation to being a new creation where we can believe. So I would encourage you to accept that, learn about that, ask questions about that. If you have already accepted Jesus and believe that way, then there's blessing for you and hope and life that non-believers don't have access to. And if you're young and you have not had a big, nasty, sinful life yet, that's okay. You can still receive Christ and dedicate your life to him, and he will bring you up and guide your path, just like the psalm said when we read earlier. So talk to your mom or dad or Ms. Rachel or Pastor Dan or somebody else. If you have questions about that, I'd encourage you to ask about it. All right. So let me close our little time here in prayer, and then we'll sing the song one more time, and then we'll have you go back to your seats, okay? So, dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us this story to show us how much you love us. I pray that you would help us to accept your love and to believe that you want nothing more than to be with us, to have that relationship with us. We confess that we are sinful, that we are separated from you because of our choices as humans, and we just pray that you would draw us close to you, forgive us for that, and help us be new creations in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's stand up and let's sing this one more time. Here we go. One, two, three, and I am a new creation. I am a new creation. Good, everybody together. I am a new creation. Jesus lives in me. And I am a new creation. Hey, Alex, is there a slide for this? For the next one. Jesus lives in me. Yeah, the old is gone. The old has gone. The new world has gone. I am new. As Jesus lives in me. Clap, clap, clap. The old has gone. The new world has gone. I am new. As Jesus lives in me. All right, one more time. We're going to split the room. This side sing, I'm a new creation. This side sing, the old is gone. One, two, three. The old and the new creation. The new has come. I am new. Jesus lives in me. One more time. The old has gone. The new has come. Last time, because Jesus lives in me. All right, give yourselves a hand. Good job, good job. All right, you can go back to your seats. All right. Good job. Nice going, kiddos. All right, so I'm curious, do any of you remember back in the 80s there was a series of children's books, kind of middle school books, called Choose Your Own Adventure? Anybody remember those? Yeah. They were awesome because you get to the end of a chapter and the plot thickens and you get to this point and the character has to make a decision. And if they make this decision, then you go to chapter 6. If you make that decision, then you go to chapter 2. And so as it goes, the story kind of unfolds and you can read the same book 3 or 4 times and get different storylines, you know, plot lines. Well, this worship service is kind of like Choose Your Own Adventure because it's already 11:30. And I'm just getting started. So, what I told Dan as I was getting ready for this is my hardest challenge is deciding what not to say, what not to do. Because I get going with the music and inspiration, and there's so many things that God has shown me through music. And so I have launched a ministry called Singable Sermons. And it takes truth from a message or a passage of scripture, a sermon series, and it hangs it on a melody line. This song that we just did, you know, simple little children's song. It's a catchy little tune. I hope it plagues you. You'll be at lunch and you'll be like, you know, that clap, 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 right? And but I hope it reminds you of the truth that it holds. And so I've written other songs that are similar. I want to be, you know, respectful of the time, and so I just like to offer, I have 3 more songs that I'd like to sing, and I have, you know, I could do an hour on each song, or I can just give you like a 2-minute like overview and sing it, or I can just sing them. What's your preference? Or we could, you know, release, and if you want to go, you can, and if you want to stick around, you can do that too. So I'm totally fine. Okay, 2-minute version. Okay, we'll do a flyby here. Perfect. All right, so I'm going to dedicate this song, This I Know. This is a neat... This, okay. So this comes out of reassurance in a season of change. And it's been said that there is nothing sure in life except for change. Change itself is the only constant. I think we're witnessing that this week. Dan and I were talking about changes that are happening in his life and changes he'll need to make. And there are a lot of things that will remain the same. And you don't want to lose sight of that. There are a lot of things that will be consistent. But Jeremiah 29:11 talks about God's plans for us, plans for good and not to harm us, plans to help us prosper, right? That's not to say that everything is sunshine and roses all the time, but it is to say that he is faithful and he is with us throughout. And sometimes he'll develop our character using hard things. Challenges, crises even, and he'll draw us to him. And so this song it comes out of that. Philippians 1:6 is another one. Philippians 2:13, Isaiah 40, talking about flying like eagles. Romans 8:28, they're all reassurance that God is with us on this journey. So let's do this. This is called This I Know, and I taught Rachel a little part here. You can come up if you want, or you can sing where you are, or whatever. It goes something like this. Alex, can we get Rachel's mic on? The winds of change will come upon you. The hand of God is stirring deep. not plans for good and not to harm you, plans to use you in the building of his kingdom. His faithful hand will always guide you, so trust him for the things to come. Yes, I know. Sing along with us if you got it. You will fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go away, run the race and not grow faint. You will fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go away, run the race and not grow faint. God works good for those who love him. In my heart of hearts I know he'll provide a song to sing. In his trust and as we go, we will fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go away, run the race and not go free. We will fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go, run the race and not go faint. Sing that again. And we will fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go, run the race and not go faint. One more time. Fly upon the wings of eagles, walk the path and not go, run the race and not go faint. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. My prayer for you, buddy. Rachel, Alex, Hope. I got it right this time. So I didn't finish my story about Hope. When I first arrived, I pulled up in front of their house and motor home. Rachel and Dan were at the ER, and Alex and Hope were home alone, kind of trying to not freak out. And I pulled up about 7 p.m. on Thursday, and I see her head in the window, and then she pops out the screen door, comes out front. I say, "Hi, I'm Kevin." And she says, "I know. I'm Hope." Love it. So I've known her since before she was. I watched her growing up, but I haven't seen her for a long time, so it was pretty fun to have it. So from that point on, every time I saw her, I tried to call her a different name. Just, you know, I have a daughter that's 12, and it's that kind of humor that, you know, I don't know. So anyway, all right. So heart song.
Let me do another one here. This is one.
This is kind of a neat one for me. Did I say heart song? I meant gifts from the heart. Gifts from the heart. I've written songs over the years, and I've used them in church. I've used them at conferences and retreats in small settings, and I've done some like live recording in session, but I've never been in a studio to record. And I decided this year for Christmas I wanted to give my dad a recording of this song. And so I got going on that, and so this is my first studio recording. There's a background track that we'll try to play. It should play on the next slide if we have audio. So I'll play it and sing it as we go. But I'll let you pick up the story as I sing. go on to the next slide, and you might have to click the button at the bottom. You see the little speaker? Yeah, do you have audio on that? Sorry, we didn't do a tech rehearsal. Sorry? Okay, that's fine. I'll just say and play it. Oh. If you click that little thing, does it play? No. All right, cool. So I'm just going to do it with guitar. We'll do it acoustic, and I'll let you know that I have a website called Singable. Oh, there it is. I hear it. Good. Turn that up a little bit. Good job, Alex. Way to go. So just from the heart, the whole theme behind it was actually a month-long series talking about how God's gifts to us include things like the ultimate gift, salvation, spiritual gifts that he gives us, and there's, I don't know, probably 30 different iterations of gifts, and some are spiritual gifts, and some are like talents and things that people are good at. I'm a good singer, but it's really not listed as a spiritual gift. So I combine that with a gift of leadership and encouragement and teaching. Those are all kind of my little package, and I use music to do that. And so the song goes through that, and then I don't know if you're familiar with this book by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. And it just talks about how people communicate, what people's needs are felt and perceived, and you know why I could be saying something and it means nothing to you, or I do something nice to you and don't say anything, and you think, Well, how come he didn't say anything? That wasn't very nice, you know, but I did something nice. So anyway, that's the whole thought on that that bridge. A gift from the heart is a gift from above. It's a chance to use open hands to share God's love. Things can be as simple as a gift or a gentle touch or a thoughtful deed, a well-placed word, even a little bit of time with somebody can be very meaningful for them. That can be a gift to them. So I would encourage you to be grateful for those gifts in your life, ways that people have poured into you and impacted you. And then look for ways that you can be a gift. You can pass God's gift on to others, be his hands and feet, so to speak. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. It can be, you know, building and grounds, or it can be helping fix a car, or it can be cooking a meal, or just sitting with somebody. It can be playing music. The other day I was working on some things, and Dan was just happy to hear me just sitting there, you know, plinking on my guitar, and he kind of dozed in and out, and like that was what he needed at that moment, and I was happy to be able to provide that. So that's the two-minute version of Gifts from the Heart. I hope that you'd be encouraged by that. I do have a website now. It's called singablesermons.com, and as that song is on there, there's like a lyric video that has that, and then as more is available, I'll have like a backstory on each song and a recording of each song, and so if you're interested in that, you can find more there. All right. Do I have time to do one more? Okay. I will end with this one, and it's kind of a blessing for you as a church. One thing that I know, make this a little bigger here. One thing I know is that things continue to change, even in Burns, Kansas, and some things stay the same, and you think, boy, it is just stuck in time, but things change, people's change, people's situations change, family change, jobs change, health changes, all that. And through it all, we can claim Philippians 3. Let me just read the words for you on this. In this race you've called me to run, I have to keep my eyes on the prize. The things that make a difference are eternal, and so I will fix my gaze on Jesus Christ and press on. So this is press on. This is a challenge to you, a blessing to you as a church, and as individual believers. I hope that you will press on in the faith. Freedom mine, oh, so I pray. So that's my prayer for you. Let me just close us in prayer, if I may. Is that okay? Okay. Father God, we are grateful for this time together. We thank you for music and for the life that it brings and for the peace and the truth that we can hang on it. And thank you for giving us your truth in your word for a glimpse into it this morning. And we just pray for this body of believers, for this family of God, that you would draw them together, that you would solidify their bonds together and help them to be ministers to one another, to take care of one another, but then also to reach out into the community and take care of the needs there, to shine your light, to share your gifts in the community of Burns and beyond. As they prepare for this festival and for the fall, I just ask that you would use this church in new and fresh ways, and that people would know that you are here and that you live within their hearts as a people. So we thank you again for this time, and we give this day to you in Christ's name. Amen. Pictures. So take a look up here real quick. I found a couple of winter pictures. That's my family in Arizona. All my little kids are big now. Okay, then these are the winters. There you go. That would be Drew. Yeah. This would be Alex. That's when we knew them in Wickenburg. Don't mess with her. They look mean and nasty. Yes. I hope. Yeah, that was a few years ago. is that the last one? All right, good. If you get a chance to ask Dan about, stories, we got some stories. Like, ask him about our mountain biking trip when he sat on a cactus. That was a pretty good one. Yeah.
Yeah.